For a Western democratised society such as Australia, we have generally been considered far behind the likes of the US, the UK and New Zealand when it comes to legislation within the journalism profession. That is, until now. The Greens' shadow spokesperson for communications, Senator Scott Ludlam, has recently succeeded in passing through an amendment act ensuring journalists are able to promise the privilege of protecting confidential sources without facing legal repercussions. The Evidence Amendment Journalist Privilege Act 2010 has simply changed the definitions of the terms journalist and news medium. Stilgarian is a new media commentator and writer for Crikey. I spoke to him recently in the first part of a two-part series looking at one of the more exciting revelations in media law.
Originally, the new law was going to say that a journalist was essentially someone who worked as an employee doing news for a news outlet, and whether they were paid to do it was the real test. These amendments, which were put through by the Greens, change that, and the test now essentially is anyone who's active and engaged in the making of news. Now, that's important because if the law had made employment the test, the fact that they weren't paid meant that they wouldn't be covered by this shield law.
Does that in turn maybe detract from the idea of journalism as a profession?
Perhaps, and that's one argument because, you know, here's the test. How do you say someone is a journalist as opposed to someone sticking something on the internet? You know, that profession of journalism carries with it that idea of an ethical approach, the journalist code of ethics and so on. So, you know, if someone is employed as a journalist or is a member of the MEAA, then they've subscribed to this professional relationship. And now we're... The law is essentially saying that's not the key factor. The key factor is whether they're involved in the making of news, whether they subscribe to that particular style of ethics or not. Now, personally, I find this a bit, you know, it's an interesting debating point because although there is the MEAA Code of Ethics, that's not necessarily the only way of looking at how the media works. The differentiation I make between capital J journalism and, if you like, a journalism with a lowercase, that the style of journalism practiced in the media factories, if we can call it that, and practiced by members of the professional association, well, that is only one way of interpreting the day's events through the media. Personally, I think it's great that we're not limiting the rule to that, but to all the other kinds.
So basically, the amendment has taken the idea of news media and journalism and rearranged it to kind of make it fit. Do you think maybe then we need to readdress what the public interest might encapsulate?
It will be interesting to see how the courts interpret that, though, you know, public interest can mean a very great many things, and we've seen over the years. It's one of those things that has no... you know, strict definition. Mm. So it will be interesting to see how the courts interpret that, as I say. Even if a journalist is an employee of a major news organisation, and even if a journalist has supposedly signed up to the MEAA Code of Ethics, that doesn't mean they're necessarily actually going to follow those ethics. And I think there's a bit of a difference between the kind of journalist who will stand up for their ethics. They will keep their confidences and they are willing to go to jail. And then there are other people also working as journalists who work, say, for tabloid TV programs or some of the more nefarious media outlets. And even though they're ethically upheld to protect, you know, people's privacy and so on, that simply doesn't happen. And all of those people get to call themselves journalists. I mean, that brings us back to our earlier point about, you know, should that be the test of whether someone is a journalist or not? Well, even now, you know, in practical terms, it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference for some people who call themselves journalists.
Yeah, and I guess it's interesting because this is, I think, a debate that you might have, you know, previously touched on is, you know, are bloggers and journalists the same kind of person? I know there's been a lot of debate about the idea of one doing the other, and a journalist can't have a blog and a blogger can't be a journalist. But under this amendment, it's all pretty much the same, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Jay Rosen, who teaches journalism at New York University, makes this point. It's not about whether the person is a blogger or is a journalist. The person can be both, they can be one, they can be neither. It's about what was the act, what was occurring. So journalism is presumably about a process, it's about an approach to how you do things, and that's one way of doing it. Blogging is another way of interpreting the world, and it's about producing a different kind of media output. And so really, it's about the act rather than about the person doing it. And this will be something, I think, too, that will come up, I'm sure, in the first kind of court cases that relate to that. You know, we talk about the journalist is involved in, what's the phrase here, engaged and active in the publication of news, and a news medium is about, disseminating to the public or a section of the public news and observations on news. So the arguments that will end up in the first court cases on this will be, well, what counts as news, and the kind of speeches against the law, particularly Senator Brandis, was more concerned about this definition of journalism, and it might, you know, apply to anyone.
I mean, what does this say now? I mean, we've been pretty behind the mark in terms of, as a Western democracy, we don't have... do you think this is the start of something great for the media in Australia?
I actually suspect that it's more that this is a kind of one-off law, and if we're trying to look for any coherent approach, you know, proper freedom of speech rights and so on, that'll be too hard a biscuit to bite for the legislature. It's going to be, I think, a slow, gradual push of little pieces like this, which might eventually add up to that big picture. But I honestly don't see the kind of politicians we have these days generally having a go at the big picture issues of freedom of speech.
Weighing up on the recent passing of an Amendment Act, that was new media guru and commentator Still Garian. And do stay tuned next week on the Fourth Estate for a chance to catch up with the whistleblowing side of it. Will it compel the public to reveal instances of corruption and in turn promote trust between the media and the public?